Everybody's good? Everybody had a good lunch? Get a little Chick-fil-A? God, we love Chick-fil-A. Gosh, I would travel across the world to eat a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Love it, love it, love it. It's a good day. What a great morning we've had. You know, just Greg's heart and Chris's, and then tonight and tomorrow. That's one of the things I love about ARC is you come, and you're not going to get really anything that's just kind of right out of the can, right out of the box. You're always going to get something fresh. It's interesting this morning. Some of the guys were in the back, and we were trying to get some things together. You know, Greg's kind of, you know, rewriting some thoughts, and, you know, Chris is back there working through some things, and I'm, you know, I got like hotel paper. How many knows it's a fresh message when it's written on Marriott? You know, I'm writing on, you know, I'm putting new thoughts down. I'm a little ADD. I don't like speaking on anything twice. And so, matter of fact, even with multiple services, sometimes I get bored listening to myself. And so in the fourth service, I'll just make up some things to talk about, you know, because you're just trying to keep myself together. But, you know, and that's what I love. I love something fresh. I love hearing from people that are just discovering it. What a thought with Chris, just unpacking something that he's working through right now. And so I just enjoy that. Let's look over some things. I'll give you a little title and then unpack some things. This is about creating giant ripples with small rocks. And hopefully you got a little small rock when you came in, something to help you remind. If you didn't get one of those, get one of those on the way out. It's just something to remind you about how God will use sometimes small things to make large ripples in a community, in a church, doing an outreach, things like that. Delenn and I have discovered that as a church. And it's good to have her in our workshop. I appreciate her being here with us. It's been great having her. Just to be able to bounce things off. You know, you know when you speak, you look for a lot of approval. You appreciate what people say, but there's nothing like your spouse saying, "Hey, that was okay. I enjoyed that. That was a blessing." And you know, I can look for that, but you know, just her being able to sense that God's in it means so much. So we're talking about creating giant ripples with small rocks. Sometimes it's small things that make big impact. Instead of focusing maybe on larger marketing campaign, your church. Sometimes you can make greater impact through serving your community with kindness. No strings attached. It's something we talk a lot about. With the social media tools available today, when people have been, you know, blessed by serving, and you can get the word out in different circles that otherwise you would never even reach. So serving others is a great way to make some giant ripples. That's kind of the context of what we're going to talk about for a few minutes. We've given you a book also that is 15 ways. These are just ideas. It's an excerpt out of the book, 15 ideas to help you get started. Take this. If you want extra, we have some extra. If you want extra to give out to the team or to maybe give out to a serve team, you say, "Hey, can I get 10 or 15 of those to give out?" This is kind of what we give out in a lot of different settings, just to get people thinking about ideas to serve, innovative ways to reach in their community that can make a large impact. So we've got these available at the end. You can go back there in the back, and these guys will hook you up also. So that's there. And then also the book, Servolution, it just came out. Really, we're releasing it here at this conference, Starting a Church Revolution Through Serving. And our heart really is, we're not bashful about it. I would like to see this get into the hands of every single believer. I can get it into their hands because I believe it's a heart issue. I believe it can resource your church and resource your people. You know, if there's one thing that can change a church, it is servant leadership. It's people that have a heart to serve. It's people that understand Jesus-style ministry, which is about serving. I don't believe there's a pastor or a small group leader or somebody on staff that's looking for someone to help them. One of the things you don't want is someone who doesn't have a heart to serve. I mean, if you just say, "Hey, I'd like for you to get involved," "Well, I don't want to serve," that's an automatic, "Okay, well, why don't you go talk to the choir then? We're going to do something else." You know, so the heart to serve is huge, and that's really what this is about, is a heart to serve, and then a lot of different ways. So those will be back there. I think it's right around the corner, and I'm going to go right after this time and be there. I'd love to just talk with you, and anything I can do to answer any questions or talk more about this, I would love to do it. So let's talk a little bit. We've been Healing Place now for 16 years. It's been some good days. It's been some amazing days. We've had some huge moments, over 16 years, huge moments as a church. There's been defining moments that have helped us to go to the next place as a people. You know, 17 Easters. I thought about that this year. We did our Easters, our 17th Easter. And just a lot of different services, all the big events that we've been a part of. I remember one year we had an idea to do the world's largest Easter egg hunt.
And at that time, the record was 160,000 Easter eggs. And so we said, we got to beat that. So we put out 163,000 Easter eggs out at our state fair. We want to break the Guinness's World Book of Records and get real excited about it. And about 5 o'clock, right before we did it on Good Friday, about 5 o'clock, we'd worked for like all day long, sweating like crazy. I mean, we were stinking. We all had a rash. It was just tough out there. I mean, it was rough. And in the middle of all this, one of the girls on the team came up and said, "Pastor, you're not going to believe this, huh? We've only put out 130,000 eggs." Now, how many knows right then we've got a problem? We've advertised this as the world's largest. And so all night long, we went and found these plastic eggs. We put them out again. We were expecting 2,000 people. We had over 5,000 people that showed up. Not only was it the world's largest Easter egg hunt to the community, it was the world's quickest Easter egg hunt ever. We blew the whistle, and those eggs were off the ground in like 11 seconds. Now, I mean, we've got 2 more hours to kill. I mean, it was, you know, we've done some big events, had some amazing Christmases, a lot of different ideas, some giant deals. This Servolution this past year has just been incredible for us. But what I thought about in thinking about how you make giant ripples by small rocks, even though we've had these big events and these big moments for almost 70 years in December, we've been a church. We've been a church, though, for 6,000 days. 6,000 days. So if you put all the events together and you put all the Easters and the Christmas and the big moments together, you know, it's only about 5% of what we've done as a church and in the big moments. You know, the question is, what did we do with the other 5,700 days? If it's just 5% of 6,000, there was 5,700 days. What do we do then? I tell you what we did. We served. We loved. We returned emails. We wrote thank you cards. We cared for people. We laughed with people. We listened to people. We had church for small amounts, large amounts. We cried with those who went to the hospital, who had a funeral, who suffered through things. We sweated a whole lot, moving people, being there for widows. Still do that today, cutting yards, building ramps for people who are in wheelchairs. And I think at the end of the day, it's the 5,700 days of small things that really has been the foundation of the opportunity to continue to serve. Does that make sense? So looking at that, you know, Healing Place has really been built one day at a time, little by little, brick by brick. And I believe today it's still the same, making a difference one moment at a time. We have a saying, I want you to write this down, reaching the world by serving one. Reaching the world by serving one. I think that's how you can make one of the greatest impacts in your community. Reaching the world by serving one. The integrity of our ministry, the integrity of our small groups, the integrity of our children's ministry, the integrities of our church plants, the integrity of them still boils down to how well we take care of one person. One person. One life. Because you never know how that one life can link to another life and can link to another moment. So we don't sell short the moments that are small. We don't underestimate the small things, because it's the small things that can give us the opportunity to enjoy the larger things. Jesus said it well, faithful in the little, then you get to do more. Faithful in the little, then you get to do more. So as we talk a little bit for a few minutes, and we'll finish up with some Q&A, or I'll just talk about some ideas that we've done. You know, how do you make giant ripples in a community in a small way? Because I think the giant ripples that you can make in a community or in a region are done through those small acts. It's those everyday moments, getting that in the DNA of our teams, letting that be contagious to our leadership, to our small groups, to each generation of every day we're here to serve. Every day we're here to care. We just don't put on a serving smile at an event. We just don't do it on the big days. But it's the other 95% of the days that we get to care. We get to go the second mile. We get to go above and beyond. We get to listen. We get to be attentive. And can I tell you, for somebody ADD, it's hard to be attentive. It's hard to listen. I can be real full on when maybe there's a big something going on. I know I'm required. I can have attention. But sometimes in those moments where I've got to have that attention of one individual or one small thing, sometimes I can lose track of it. But I think it's there where the kingdom grows. I think it's interesting in Acts chapter 6, in this breakthrough of the New Testament church, there's some amazing things that take place in the New Testament church. I mean, you know, to see, you know Peter stand up and preach on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people get saved. I mean, that's pretty huge. That's pretty incredible altar moment. Or to, to be able to go to the Gentiles and reach people that everybody else thought was unreachable. That would be pretty phenomenal. To be in prison and there be an earthquake, and the gates open up, and or an angel come and get you out of a prison and walk you past everything. Those are some amazing moments. I love the whole thought of preaching so long that somebody drops out of a window. You put them to sleep, they fall out, you go outside, you resurrect them, you bring them back in, and you keep on preaching. I mean, you don't even shut the meeting down. You know, you just kept on preaching till the morning time. Incredible moments, amazing moments, big highlights. But I think there's a highlight that's in Acts chapter 6 that is really a small moment, and sometimes we can overlook it. We can run by it so quick. But it's amazing the process that it leads to. I'll just read a couple of verses. Those days there was a number of disciples. They were increasing. They said there were Grecian Jews that began to complain because the Hebraic Jews and the widows and some were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So out of this pouring of the Spirit, people are getting healed. Stephen's preaching the gospel. Saul's being converted to Paul. All these amazing things that take place. Right there in the middle of it, there's this conversation about we got a food distribution issue. We got this little thing happening, and there's some people kind of arguing because you got two pieces of bread. I only got one piece of bread. That was my mama. She didn't get more flour than that lady, and now I got a problem. And there are these little small things that are happening that are creating some issues. So the 12 gathered together, the disciples said, it's not right for us to neglect the ministry of the word. Wait on the tables. Brothers, we got to get 7 men among us who are full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we have to turn this responsibility over to them. And the Bible says that they gave prayer to it, the ministry of the word, verse 5 of Acts chapter 6, and then they came up with this proposal. I like that word. This proposal blessed the whole group. They chose these men, Stephen, and on, said they presented these men to the apostles. They prayed for them. They laid their hands on them, said, okay, get to work. Let's solve this problem. But that wasn't all that took place. I love verse 7 because it talks about how a very small thing made a huge ripple in a community and in what God was doing. It says this, so the word was spread and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. So all this small thing, this normal thing, this thing that is described as a responsibility, as work, as something that would be common, it says it triggered rapid growth. It triggered something that created an acceleration of the church growing and the message growing and it getting out even more. Not only did it trigger rapid growth in Jerusalem, it says there were a large number of priests that became obedient to the faith. Do you know there's not even many places in Scripture that even talks much about these hardcore, legalistic, very secure shell of people that came to Christ. But in Acts chapter 6, it describes that some of the hard... Have you ever seen somebody come to Christ and you thought, man, I didn't think they were ever going to get saved. Man, they're just crazy. You see somebody walk in church and you, whoa, what's up with that? Okay, what's happening? What's going on? I remember a guy stopped and we had a guy come to church and just a real influential man and a guy came to me. He's like, Dino, you wouldn't believe it. So-and-so's here. So-and-so's here. I was like, man, it's great. He said, the rapture, is it going to take place today? I mean, he was so shocked that this individual had come to church because he just looked unreachable. He looked so far out there that they would never come to Christ. But here it is, just teaching a principle in Acts chapter 6, that the little responsibility of waiting on the table, distributing some food, Caring from some little old lady, little old widows. What do you need, baby? Okay, everybody stand in line. Everybody line up. Don't be mean to each other. Be kind. Okay, here, we're going to give you cheese. And now you're going to get bologna. Hey, wait your turn. And they just all got it in order. They got it synchronized. They got it in a way that it worked. Everybody, there was some type of a sharing that went on. There was a co-responsibility. Isn't it interesting that out of that idea, out of that plan, out of that little small thing, that this huge ripple effect took place? I believe that serving can reach somebody that some other things will never reach. Can I have a good amen? I've just found it to be true that serving and that compassion and that going the extra mile and that small things at times can make a larger impact than big things can. I think that's one of the lessons, that's one of the takeaways. You know, a small rock, something small, unnoticed, opened up this supernatural opportunity. Gosh, the fruit from that moment. See, what it is, it's where one life touches a life, which touches another life, which touches another life, on and on and on. The idea is a simple ripple effect. Another serving all of a sudden reaches into another opportunity where ripples will go across generations. And I believe the ripple of serving and the ripple of compassion and the ripple of some ideas in our area or just something that somebody else says, I don't know if that's going to work, or something that is just, you know, so small and so insignificant, where there's a ripple effect and it goes across generations. It goes across racial divide, serving. It'll go across, you know, economic barriers. Serving can go across demographics. Serving can go across church walls and denominational walls. I so saw this just recently through this thing we did called Servolutions, these 7 days right before Easter. The idea is that there was 100 days from January 1 to Good Friday. That's the first 100 days of the year. So we said, why not just take the last 7 days? Let's just serve. Let's just find out if maybe some other churches want to partner with this. And we'll just begin to serve. And it's interesting to hear the report after report of how this serving, these some small things that may be off the radar, some small ideas, how it cut across generations and how there were generations in churches that were coming together. Because a lot of times in churches, generations will stay separate. You got a certain setting, you got a certain music, you got a certain flow. Young people like it dark, old people like it light, young people like it loud, older people want it soft. You know, just these different things, and we just can't find something common where this whole thought of serving brings something common to every generation, because every generation can serve. You see that coming together with racial barriers where maybe there's a difference of ideas or different of mindset. I can tell you what, you know, believers of white and brown and black and red and yellow, every color, they do agree on serving the poor and helping people. So I'll come across, you know, cut across church denominations where different styles, different flows, different philosophy, people joining together to make a difference in some small ways. In the demographics, I know in our community, we have a lot of different demographics in our region. And one of the ways we've been able to cut across some of those demographics and some of those barriers that normally would not be cut across was through that serving in small acts of kindness that cut across maybe a demographic of location. Well, I'm from here and you're from there, and you, those in that community don't mingle with these in that community. But being able to totally immerse ourselves in these things can transform a community. I've seen it as we just connect the different things through serving, through making a difference, through Servolution. I just love seeing what happened through the social media networks that we didn't spend that much on this idea, on this movement that we believe is not an event, but really more of a culture thing. But what we did is we just connected through Facebook and through a lot of people, Twitter, and are part of that. And you can see how it just cut through barriers and made a difference that way to get the word out. Not a lot of resources, but getting the word out. Very small ways that made a big impact. Just those things through outreach, through making a difference. I think about some of the small things. We first started our church. You know, I think we started serving really through default. Because we just really couldn't do much else. I struggled with preaching. My Lord have mercy. It was rough in the beginning days. I would speak and go either really long or, you know, go really short. Would sometimes be all over the map. There would be Sundays I would walk out and think, that what did I say? What was that all about? Where was I going? You know, in our early days of music, there were many weekends that Dylan would just lead worship with a keyboard player or did a cappella. Do you know how hard it is to get your worship on a cappella? There were some Sundays we did it with a saxophone. It's hard to get your worship on with a saxophone, just a soloist and a saxophone. So there were many things we felt like we didn't have to offer. So the idea was, what can we do? We said, we can serve. We can make a difference. So we got involved and knew that there was one widow in the church. We said, well, why don't we care for that one widow? We'll just care for her. We went out and bought flowers. And I went over there one day and knocked on her door. Her name was, we called her Sister Campbell. Everybody's got to have a Sister Campbell. I said, hey, Sister Campbell, we're just here. I mean, we didn't have anything else to do. I mean, I did every church duty I could by noon on Monday. We were done. Wasn't nobody else around. I mean, nobody. I mean, 12 people, ain't none of them sick. I mean, there just wasn't a lot to do. So we defaulted to say, we can serve. Let's serve. Let's just reach people. And I can remember going over to sit with her, and I went 6 Tuesdays in a row and would bring her something. I remember after the 6th Tuesday, she said, Dina, I've just so enjoyed you visiting with me, but I don't have anything else to tell you. I'm tired. She said, I'm tired of talking to you. She said, but I know 5 other widows. Could you kind of go see them and then maybe catch me like on a 6th week and space it out a little bit? I was like, man, what an innovative idea. What a great idea. Do you know that out of that one widow, an idea of reaching widows? Do you know out of that one small stone, that about every week now as a church throughout our campuses, maybe on an average week, we're able to serve and care for over 300 widows. All because of one idea, one small stone that makes a large ripple effect. We've created a culture in our church to care for widows. Why did we start there? Because that's a biblical idea. So we wanted to start with a biblical outreach idea to involve us. Now at Mother's Day, we make it a priority, and it's kind of known throughout our community. We honor widows at Mother's Day. Oh, we get them a great gift, and we just make a big deal over, a big to-do over them. It's so funny because they love to be honored. They like me, you making a big deal. I'll honor them. Y'all stand. Everybody's clap. We give them a gift. Some of them don't want to sit down. You kind of honor them. You give them the gift. They just stay standing. And like everybody sits down. We're done. I'm preaching. And 2 or 3 of them are still standing. Like, can we do it again? It's just amazing. One idea that now is making an impact. I think about our heart in the beginning when we didn't have a lot to do. We decided to move single moms. That was all through default. Sitting in a prayer group. A lady sits in a prayer group and says, you know, I've got an issue, and I've got to move tomorrow. And I'm having to get out of my house. I'm moving back in with our folks. I don't have any way to move, and I've got me and my 2 children. My husband I don't think she was married. You know, her living boyfriend had gone and had left her. And I can remember sitting in the back of the prayer room and the prayer leader, and he was doing all that he knew to do. He said, well, let's make that a matter of prayer. And as we were praying, I felt like the Lord just kind of thumped me upside the head. How many has ever been thumped before? Just kind of messed with. Matter of fact, why don't you turn to the person next to you and just thump them on the shoulder. Now, if you hadn't been thumped in a while, it may be good for some of you. Some of you hadn't been thumped in a while since like 8th grade. you really want to get big, just thump them on the head, make them feel like they're back in eighth grade. And what happened was as we were praying, something spoke to my heart, something messaged me, and said, she doesn't need prayer, she needs a Ford truck and some boxes and some people to move them. And so out of that, we decided, why don't we move single moms for free? We literally moved hundreds of single moms for free. And there are ladies in our church today who their life have been restored. Now their kids are in our youth group. I think of one girl that now she's very successful. Now her kids are in the youth group. Now she's given back because of the small rock, the small stone of saying, we can help you beyond just the normal thing. You know, we had another idea in our beginning days, and we decided to marry people for free. And we would marry anybody. I mean, we married, during that time, this was 16, 15 years ago, that was kind of a no-no in church. And in our culture, you didn't marry people that didn't go to your church. You didn't marry them if they hadn't been through membership class, and if they didn't know the secret Holy Ghost handshake, if they didn't know all that kind of stuff. You didn't marry them if they didn't know the code, and they didn't have the language. You just didn't do that. Well, I didn't have nothing to do. And I mean, I got bored with church, to be honest with you. I enjoy church, but I just thought there's got to be more to this than a weekend experience. So what can we do? So we were doing widows, and we were serving, you know, single moms, and we were doing all these different ministries and these kind of ideas. So let's just marry people. And so, you know, we had people starting to call us, and word got out. Just marrying individuals. How can we serve you for free? Our facilities are your facilities. We'll take care of you. One requirement, you got to come to pre-marriage counseling. And back then, I was only married 5 or 6 years. I didn't know much about marriage. So I just talked to them about Jesus. You know, they come in there and they go, how are you doing with the Lord? Can I read you Romans? Can I talk to you about John 3:16? And they what about communication? I don't really know. You need to talk to my wife about that. I'm not real good communicating. But I am saved. So can we talk about getting saved? You know, and all these different things. And, you know, the lives through that small idea of marrying a couple, offering ourselves, the giant ripple effects of that small stone that makes a difference. We have a couple here, Kevin, Tracy, Mawai, who, you know, we married them. They were one of the first ones we married. How long have y'all been married now? 16 years. I think we married them about the fourth month of the church. They came for one session, I think, about a half a session. I never talked to them about marriage. I just tried to get Kevin saved, and he said no, he wasn't interested. But, you know, it's interesting. Kevin went on, he's playing in the NFL. He went on to play at the Seattle Seahawks. Something happened in their life. He ended up back at the church, came to Christ, went back to the Jets, became real involved with the Jets. Now he plays for Tennessee Titan. Just recently, he was elected as a president of the Players Union. Now his influence is across 1,300 NFL players, and he's looked to as one of the strong believers in the NFL today. And thank God for Tracy, his wife, who prayed for him, who stands by him, keeps him accountable. She's really the one that should be congratulated because Kevin's a project. I'm telling you that right now. But Tracy's godly. But you think about that one little small moment, small decision that made a giant ripple effect. You said, you know, what are you really campaigning about? I'll tell you what I'm campaigning about. Is caring for the one. And never underestimating your idea. Never underestimating your outreach. Never underestimating that small thing that's being done that nobody else notices, that nobody else really gives a lot of credit to, but you have no idea the kingdom impact that that can have. I'll tell you another story. We do water giveaways. And we just believe in with everything. We stand on street corners and we give out water at different stoplights and have been doing that for about 10 years. And about the second year, we were out doing that one day, and we didn't come up with that idea. We got that idea from Steve Sojourn right there, who was pastor of a church in Cincinnati Vineyard, wrote a book called Conspiracy of Kindness that kind of marked us as a church. And so we had an idea. Delenn read the book, said we should be doing some of these things. I think it would match our flow. We did water giveaways, just stood on street corners. We had people laugh at us in our community. How can a bottle of water change anybody's life? Why would you be giving energy to that? That's not church work. We had other people that made fun of us, that thought that it had no eternal impact. It had no eternal worth to it. We just said, well, we just feel like we may make a difference. You never know how it can impact someone's life. You never know. You may give a bottle of water to a person who is experiencing the worst day of their life. Because it could be strategic. There could be timing attached to it. So we gave ourselves to it. We still do it today. All throughout the summer, all throughout the springtime. Lady pulled over one day and she said, why are y'all doing this? And at that time we were giving out Cokes. We've gotten more healthy since then. That day we were giving out Cokes and Diet Cokes. And the guy said, well, we just had an idea just to share God's love in a practical way, let people know they matter to God. She said, it's a great idea. She said, I'd like to take this idea back to where I live. She lived in Macomb, Mississippi. Everybody say, God bless, God bless. Mississippi, because they need it. And so she lived in Mississippi. She said, what we do is we go out to the Walmarts on the weekend and we preach in the back of a pickup. She said, but recently no one's coming to Walmart anymore. She was putting two and two together. They were going to park at now down the street at like, you know, Rite Aid. So they said, so our idea tonight, we was going to go to Rite Aid and just kind of spoil everybody's night. Just preach from the back of the pickup truck. And my thought was, when they're going to move to Sonic, they're moving from you. Have you gotten a clue yet? They are running from you. She said, so we'd like to do this instead. Can we do this? So, you know, the little girl that was there giving out, she said, yes. Yeah, she gave him a card. They went home the next weekend. They went to the Walmart parking lot. They went to Rite Aid. They went to Sonic. And they gave out Cokes to people. Just gave out Cokes. Just shared God's love. Hey, just here. You look too thirsty to pass. Simple act of kindness. No strings attached. If you ever need us, we're here for you. It was a family who took one of those Cokes. And the next week, this family shows up on a Sunday morning, mother and three children, and brought the little card with them, told that little church, man, we're just here because somebody in your church gave us a free Coke. We had to come somewhere to see a church that would give something out for free with no strings attached. So she came, and that day, those four people got up at the end, that mom and those three children, they came forward, they received Christ. That night, the dad came with them. On Sunday night, he had not been in church in probably 15 or 20 years, I believe the family told us. That night, he told the preacher at the end of the service, he came forward to receive Christ. Told the preacher at the end of the service, he said, I had to come somewhere to a church that would actually give my family something for free. Nobody ever gave us nothing for free, didn't want anything. That night, they baptized the whole family. It's old school church. You just going in your street clothes, just going, wade in the water. The water's good. Wade on up in the water. It's old school. You know what, like, wait 8 weeks. Let's get baptized tonight. You guys say, we better get you in the water. Y'all look like heathens. Let's do it right now. And so they put him in the water that night. They got baptized. Do you know, and this sounds dramatic, but this is the truth. On Thursday, that man dropped dead of a heart attack. At the funeral, the pastor did the funeral. Do you know what he put right beside, not the pictures of the family, do you know what he set right beside the coffin? A Coke can. And his thought was, it's amazing how something so small can make an eternal difference in a family's life. Don't ever underestimate a small stone that is thrown out in faith and in compassion and in love and in authenticity, the ripple effect that it can make. It's just amazing. I hope God gives us so many ideas in here today. Small things. I hope we get reignited about an idea. I hope we kind of get rejuvenated about something we've been doing that we thought was not making a difference. Or we thought that, you know, our community will never recognize us. I believe it will. You keep doing the right thing. You keep serving. You keep making that difference. There's no telling the difference that it can make in a moment. Because you don't know what's on the horizon. And you may be investing in something right now that you'll get a return like you would never believe because of that. Now, what I want to do for the next few minutes, we only have about 10, 15 minutes. I don't like keeping you late. I like early. I want to do this. I want to walk through for a minute this 15 thoughts. I think it'll help. I believe it will ignite some ideas. See, the idea is to be able to walk out of here and walk out of here with some innovative thoughts that we can go back and act on them, and hopefully it can make that ripple effect in someone's life and someone's community. Let me just walk through some things that I think. The first one there you'll see, just to walk through these, give bottled water away. We've talked about that. How about this? Adopt an inner city block. You know, what would it be like to be able to say, we're going to take this block right here, this one block, and we're going to pour love on it. We're going to pour favor on it. We're going to find out where do I start? Follow your favor. Where is something that's already working? Where are some people that like you? It's good to start with people that like you. You know, find somebody who likes, find somewhere that it's working. Adopt that block. Clean it up. Cut yards. Pick up trash. If there's a home in it that needs to be painted, just something so small, you never know the impact of going in to adopt a block, the ripple effect it could have on that whole neighborhood. Matthew Barnett believes that the difference that the Dream Center is making in L.A., they started at that Dream Center, and then every month or every 2 or 3 months, they went out another street and began to clean it up. Now within about 15 blocks square of the L.A. Dream Center, they clean that area. They keep that area nice. They keep that area safe. What's happening? From one street, from one house, it is rippling now into that whole community of people that don't want anything. So the idea of let's go after one block. Let's find one place that as a church, as a small group, as a college ministry, as a women's group, we can go in and we can make a difference there. That's the whole idea behind a Dream Center. It's starting one place and letting it ripple outside of that. We do many Dream Centers. We're not like the large ones. We do little small ones, one in Donaldsonville, one in Baton Rouge, where we start there. We focus. And we don't move out till we sense, okay, we've done well here. Let's make sure we do well here. A couple of things, start a cooking ministry. That sometimes works in some places. It does it in other places. If you have people who can't cook, it's not a good idea. It's a quick heads up. But if you've got great cooks, you say, well, who wants that? A lot of times you can find somebody who's been sick. You can find somebody who is fighting maybe cancer. You can look for somebody who has experienced a death in a family where you could go over there and make a difference that way. Very small. But you know what? A pork roast can go a long way. You know, just being able to help somebody like that, of saying, I took time out of my day. What does the meal say? I took time out of my day, out of my world, and you were so important that when I cooked food for my family, I wanted to cook food for your family. It just says, you are more important in my world. A free auto maintenance, we do this in just a couple days, Johnny. When we do this? Do we do this always leading up before Mother's Day? We do like a week or two before Mother's Day. We just open up the whole church parking lot, and we bring in people who can fix cars. Not like that would not be me. It would be others who can fix cars, and we oil change, clean them up, do a little small thing. There's guys in church that really are into that. There are people, local garages, that would love to do that. And so we do it for single moms, for widows, and for military wives. Just a small little difference. Hey, want to come over here, bring your car, we'll make an appointment. Then the girls go inside as we're cleaning their car, and they get their nails done. They get pampered. It's soft music, some biscuits, a little, angelic babies are singing. And there's exfoliating. That's important. Yeah, they get pampered and loved on, valued. Because a lot of them come in there with, it's hard. What do you want? What do you want from me? I don't want anything. We just want to let you know you matter. You're important. And if you haven't heard that in a while, we want you to know that. So just little things like that. A few other things. So serve as a cleanup crew after community events. This is you. If you drop me in a community right now, say go plant a church, I would find the first mega event in the community that I cannot pay for because we don't have money. But I would find an event that has a massive budget, and I would go offer my services to clean up after their event. Why? Because now I'm all of a sudden partnering and piggybacking with an event that's bringing 10,000 people there. Now I'm getting to minister to 10,000 people, and it's not on my penny, because I'm there among people. And because I believe the church has excellence on it, before you know it, you will run that event. So I would just find a community event, get involved with it. Serving Care for Widows, we've talked about that. We've got teams. I see Timmy Strays, one of our campus pastors. What, every Thursday or Friday? What day? Every Friday, you cut how many yards? 20 yards every Friday. They go out and cut grass. Derek, how many people are you taking care of in Donaldsonville? A little over 100 widows in one community. Serving every single week. I believe you do it every week, don't you, Derek? Every single Wednesday. Wednesday is widow. I like that. Wednesday is widow day. kind of works that way. So that's what, just an idea to find them and work out. How about serve your local government? That's just being able to be there for things that are happening. I was with Bill Shear at Guts Church. They did Servolution. Incredible idea. They went to the mayor and didn't go with their ideas. They went to the mayor and said, what can we do for you to help the city? So she gave them a list. Bill said, name anything. We'll do it. And she, they named a few things. And Guts Church, I mean, just the name of it, Guts, you better step up. He said, you got to go bigger than that. That's too small. They went big. And so one of the jobs that they did is they said, why don't we go and tackle all the graffiti in a certain part of our community? And they went and repainted walls. I believe they saved the city about $100,000. They saved the community in being able to paint and do that. You say something so small, painting a bridge, but you never know the impact it can have of coming alongside. A few more things. Serve the homeless in your community. Sometimes it's hard to find those, but usually they're there. We don't look hard enough. We started a breakfast. Jason Laird is our youth guy. He started a breakfast on Thursday, just the idea of wanting to feed. Now every Thursday morning at about 4:35, we cook a breakfast, grits and eggs and biscuits, and we go down and probably feed about 50 to 100 people on a constant basis every single Thursday. We're there just making a difference. Start a free food pantry that sometimes works in certain areas. Hospital outreach, this is great. It's so small. A couple hours on a Friday night or Saturday night. Go to your emergency room. Bring a few snacks. Hey, just want to come by and give you these for free. Do you know there are so many people that are hurting or in need that are sitting in those emergency rooms? Find your charity hospital. Where is the toughest hospital in your region? And not only do you serve the ones that are in that emergency room, you serve the staff. When you go in there and bring them Subway sandwiches, and you go in there and bring them hot coffee, and you bring them granola bars, boy, I'll tell you what, that staff makes it, it makes such a difference. Just little small things that can go a long way. School supply giveaway. This was Delaney's favorite ideas. Going out giving school supplies. Parting with those things. A few more. Reach out to single moms in need. We've talked about that. Respond to crisis, tragedy in your community. When things happen, all these floods that are taking place, things that are going on. I mean, we're already getting in tuned up in our community. There's this whole swine flu outbreak. Already kind of thinking of ways medically. How do we partner up with that? How do we help families or get that word out? Many of you need to know, 9/11 this year is going to be a great day of service. Our president, for 6 years, they've been trying to get 9/11 as a service day through an executive order. President Obama just signed this executive order 10 days ago. So why not the church not saying, well, United Way, that's your day, we've got another day. Why not saying, we're going to get fully into that? There's no us and them in our community. We're going to totally immerse ourselves in that day. Why not the church be leading that, not be behind that? And we're going to be talking a lot about that. We'll be putting stuff up and kind of helping churches to walk through that whole 9/11 opportunity, connect with other groups who are also serving in the community. That's always a great idea, of just connecting with others who are serving in a community, making a difference. Just finding out who's doing some things well and getting up and partnering up with that. So that's just some of the thought of small ways, small ideas. Maybe things that seem insignificant that I believe can make giant ripple effects. I just can't tell you the opportunity. You know, our governor is a pretty good guy, and he rode by our church years ago, and there was a hurricane way before Katrina, and we didn't really know what to do. It was our first time. We just went out. I think it was Mike came in, and a few guys got together, went out and gave out water and just said, you know, there's a lot of people moving out of New Orleans and there's some lines out on the interstate. Why don't we just go give out water and stop at some gas stations and put up some signs, rest area, healing place. We weren't a shelter. We just a rest area. Come to find out so many people had their pets with them that they brought them to our property because nobody would let their pets out. And so they took all their pets and put them on our property. And so all their pets relieved themselves on our property. And so we became a church that pets were pooping on. It was just a great deal. So we just opened up. And so it kind of rippled effect. Everybody knew, hey, if you have pets, Healing Place will let you come on their property because they wouldn't let them in at certain places and you couldn't have just something that is insignificant. Do you know the governor saw that, recognized that, and thought, what kind of church would open up their property and let people walk their dogs and leave a blessing? What are they thinking? Do you know out of that, the favor in the open doors of just open doors for ideas and dialogue. When these last hurricanes came through town this last winter, do you know we were able to put a pastor right in the governor's inner circle to be able to communicate about what the church has to offer the state in crisis. And now he's made it an official title. That if there's a crisis, we want a pastor or somebody from the faith community right here to tell us how the church can help people. I mean, something so small as that right there. Another great church. We have some great church in our community that are full on this. And I just want to encourage you. You never know the impact of something so small that can really be a revolution in people's life. That's what Servolution is really about. So that's just kind of idea. We'll do a few minutes of Q&A if you want to. Does anybody have a question about serving or an idea or a question about, hey, how do we get this ignited? How do we move forward in these things? Any questions right before we get out of here? I think we've got about 5 minutes. If you have a question, anybody at all, don't be bashful. All questions are good. We got a few down here. Jason Laird is running in his skinny jeans. Don't start a fire. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Here we go. We got one right here. What's a quick question?
I just wanted to know how you do this with your small group ministry.
Well, we all of our small groups, one of our values would be that a small group has an outreach component. We want to make sure. Now, we push that as far as we can to them in their ideas, in the way that they can be innovative. But we want every small group to have that component because we believe that, you know, that not only do you need to learn and in a discipleship mode, but you want to be able to watch that kind of happen in outreach. So it's just one of our values. If you have, you know, values in a small group, we would put that on there. It's really the DNA about everything we do. And our staff guys are here, and you got some right behind you that could talk about how important that is. We're not an environment that says there's not much for the sake of just meeting. There's got to be a purpose to this meeting, and there's another step beyond this meeting, which for us would be caring for the poor, the forgotten, the lonely, and those that are without. We just talk constantly about it. A couple other questions about reaching out, community?
Yes, your number one suggestion on how to turn a person from a consumer to a contributor.
Well, I would say a headlock would help. No, I'm just teasing. Headlock, give them some noogies. But, you know, a couple things. We speak on it constantly. We're constantly talking about that. It is an unspoken value. It's got to be preached on, I think, from the environments that are there. It's something that, you know, it's contagious. So you've got to be that before you could speak on that. So I've always, you know, like all of our campus pastors, all of our staff, there's nobody really on our staff or on our team that doesn't do that. Everyone kind of does that. It's just kind of a known thing. If Healing Place, and we say it right up front in our new members' gatherings, this is a high commitment church. Right up front, you need to know this. Everybody serves. Everybody's a part. So we try right from the beginning to let people know, everybody's committed. Everybody's connected. So we talk about it a lot. And then we do small things that give people a good taste in their mouths with it, like a Servolution, where we're not asking them, hey, we need you to go preach on death row on Sunday night. It's just you and some guys, and you know, and there's no guards. It's just, you know, God bless you. Do you have insurance? We try to put them in an environment where they can get a big win, and it can be with other people. So there's a discipleship mentor group. So we're trying to give them a great experience. A couple other questions. Anybody else before we're all out?
One quick comment to confirm what you're saying. Hurricane Ike hit us. We were in the eye of the storm. found ourselves head deep in relief efforts, 31,000 meals delivering to people's front yards. Just God's grace on us. One man came to church on a Sunday morning, an elderly man. Our usher said, "Is this your first time, sir?" He said, "Yes, but this is my church." He said, "Oh, really? It is?" He said, "Yeah. Any church that will feed my family in the toughest time of their life is my church."
Yeah, that's good. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Never, never done. One right here.
If you were to do, before you do a big service event, what would one thing be that you would say to say, well, before you go do that, make sure you
pray, smile, take a shower. I just think you got to get prayed up. You got to be ready. We always say, we've got a old saying, Mike and I used to say a long time, you know, make sure when you get here, be sweet and have a great attitude. Let's everybody be sweet. Let's everybody be kind. And let's have a great attitude. Now, it may be an outreach where there ain't a lot of reach to it. I mean, everybody's gone on an outreach where you had 200 turkeys and you have 200 people that came to the outreach that want to give away turkeys and you have 20 people to give turkeys to. That's kind of a little crazy. It's got 20 people giving one turkey to one person. It's like, here, we brought this to you, you know. you always have moments like that. So we try to let people know up front, hey, there's no talents. We're not responsible for the outcome. We're only responsible for making a difference in our heart and trying to make a difference and love people. But it's what Christ wants us to do. So let's get after it. And we'll let God figure out the outcome when it's all said and done. Two more. Another question. What's up?
What's up, Dan? T Straight. Shout out, baby.
Yeah.
We had a church plant, and just an idea, not a question, but I do children's ministry, but this doesn't have to be, confined to children's ministry.
Yeah.
But I just started this one little thing, and it's just me, because I love kids, to go in and eat lunch with kids in the public school or wherever they are. And it's rippled. I've got principals and things calling me to come eat with kids that don't have dads and go to dances with kids, you know, stuff like that. But through the small groups and stuff like that, other people are doing this now. And it's just a great – I mean, just go have lunch with a kid. Yeah. You know, take an hour, $2.50 for a school lunch. You hadn't had one in years. The rolls are good and everything else. I don't know what it is. But anyway.
Oh, man. So, cafeteria rolls.
Huge, man. Huge effect, though. So just small little rock, you know.
Yeah. You never know. You never know. Anything else right before we close? Hey, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Do we have another question? Hold up. Hold. Put your hands back up. I faked you out.
Sorry, this might sound like a really simple question, but what would you have someone from your church say to, say, someone that's not a part of your community yet, when they give them a bottle of water? What would you have them say in that just simple transaction to just let them know that God loves them or that they're welcome
what do we
to
say,
healing
Jason?
Place?
Probably going to ask, why is it for free? Just, we usually have a card, and on it, this is what we'd say. Hey, just want to say we love you, no strings attached. Just want to be a blessing. Just real simple, real intuitive, just kind of conversational.
Yeah, we just care about you, man. You just matter. And, you know, most there's not too many people who be like, man, shut up. Get out of my face.
Yeah.
I mean, most of them are pretty much, man, wow, thanks. That's really cool. I mean, that's great. Thanks. I've had some people be like, I don't want that. I will get turned down by five. I could care less that the five turned me down for the 500 that received me. We focus on the five that don't want it, and we miss the 500 that would love to have it. And so I'm all about it. I'm just all about it. I just whatever it takes. Let's just reach people. Don't underestimate the small things. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for today. I believe our next session is going to be amazing, Lord. So, Lord, just keep teaching us, show us, grow us, because we want to be your servants so much. In Jesus' name, amen.